Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. And today, we're sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest, Linda Arnett. Linda is a Clinical Operations Director at a sponsor in our industry, leading an operations team of 17 CRAs. So before we get started, make sure to visit craresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox. So I'll turn it over to Angela and she can give us more details on our topic today.
Well, our topic is going to be a simple one, but not so simple. It's a simple word, but it's not a simple concept. It's communications. And especially in the context of the industry that we live and love, is all of those field-based folks, the remote, the work from home, the people that aren't in an office with each other, and how to properly communicate, especially whenever something's going south. So with that being said, Miss Linda was telling me a little bit about a situation just before we started recording this call about a, I want to call it firing a friend instead of phoning a friend. But it happens a lot, doesn't it, Linda? And I know that just in general, you know, especially whenever you've got a lot of CRAs out in the field is, you know, what type of communications do you prefer? What type of communications do you have to have? I mean, where's your balance on when, what's the good, what's the bad, and what's the ugly?
Well, as a CRA, you're traditionally always out in the field, you're working by yourself most of the time. When you have a question, you need an answer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you send out an email, you pick up a phone, and you want that answer right then and there. Mm-hmm. So when you're working with study coordinators, data managers from one of the research sites, when they reach out to you for a question, I have always, as a CRA, responded to that question immediately when I see that question come across. And I expect my CRA team, if they can't answer the question at that exact moment, to at least acknowledge they've seen it, we'll do it, got it, I'm on it. Everybody has a smartphone and everybody's checking the weather, the traffic, the news.
for better or for worse, we're all connected.
there's never an excuse. Time. Yeah, while you're not checking your email at least every couple hours, you know, and our company expects transparency with communication. It's
Absolutely agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that whenever individuals aren't communicating, there's a problem. And I totally appreciate a CRA being on site and not wanting to answer the phone while they're monitoring and they're dedicating their time to that site. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I want. I mean, you know, it always flags to me whenever a CRA will say, hey, look, I'm going to be on site tomorrow, but I can still take this interview with you. And I'm like, no, you cannot. You should not be doing that. I mean, I would rather you do it at lunch or, you know, whatever. Let's schedule it for the following day or what have you, because there is that balance, isn't there? But, you know, I do think the communication has to go both ways, especially in your day-to-day workload. Mm-hmm. But what about whenever you experience an emergency? And it could be a personal emergency. It could be a situation to where, as a consultant, especially, maybe you've got two contracts like most of the consultants that we work with at least do, and you don't always have control over when the peaks and valleys of those contracts hit. So if you've got a boom on one contract that coincides with the boom on another and you get behind, what would your advice to those CRAs be, Linda?
I always ask that they let me know, that they keep me informed if they're having issues. And sometimes if I start to sense that someone's lagging behind, I reach out and because I don't want to just assume they're just dropping the ball because they're being lazy or, you know, whatever. But I want to know, is there something going on at your home, something in your life that I need to know about? And we have other team members who can step up and help you. Like, nobody has to struggle alone.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love that you do that. This is the reason why you're so beloved in the industry, because that makes a big difference. And for those of you that are contract CRAs or just CRAs in general out there listening, be transparent with your manager. And oh, by the way, if you're placed through like a firm like ours and your manager doesn't have that personality to where you feel comfortable saying, hey, this is what's going on. Be transparent with your placement agency. We just had a situation with a gal, and it was really unfortunate. We have worked with her for a really long time, and this was like her fourth placement with us. We know her. She's good people. She's a good CRA. And then all of a sudden, she started behaving in a non-traditional way for her. It just was out of character for her. And so her account manager reached out because the client was escalating. She was being a snot through email. She was behind on her deliverables, and it just was not the gal that we had known and loved forever. And so the account manager reached out, and so she's like, nope, everything's fine. And we're like, there's no way everything's fine. Just tell me what's going on. She ended up getting fired before it was all over with. And it was really unfortunate because now we can't work with her anymore because it became a performance and an attitude problem. And it's like, if you had just told us what was going on, not that we need to know the drama, because we can talk about drama here in a minute, but, you know, take the emotions out of it and let us know what the situation is so that we can support you.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And whenever I interview people, one of the things that we talk about is that how highly visible each of the CRAs is with the company and their study team. You know, people on the team will say, you know, where is Michael? What is Letitia doing? I need so-and-so to do this. They know you by name. They really embrace that them as a part of the team, count on them, and are completely understanding if you know, they're ill, things are amiss, but to just completely drop the ball and not care is something that, you know, we can't tolerate.
I agree. And it could be a lack of caring, or it could be an ego that's getting in the way of just being transparent that, you know what, you don't have to carry this alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is such a fast-paced industry, you know, and especially, you know, our company, we are constantly shifting gears. Mm-hmm. And if you start falling behind, it not only impacts your direct work, but it impacts what you're communicating to your sites. It impacts how you're communicating with your project teams. Mm-hmm. It's a big trickle down, just not your immediate work.
That's a point. It's a trickle up. It's a triple over.
Yeah.
I mean, it impacts everything. The CRA role is so important. I mean, it impacts so many other things. And if the CRA has never been in management or regulatory or done some of these other things, they might not understand what happens after they finish their work. But you guys you need to know there's a lot that happens after you finish your work. And if you're behind, or if things just kind of not done at the same quality that we're used to seeing from you or whatever, it's a huge impact.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And we've worked hard. Our team has been pretty solid. I want to say, you know, we've added new people, but we've also had a solid core of people for like almost 5 years, which is really unusual in CRA world.
Yeah. Really unusual. Some of the people that have been with you have been longer than 5 years, which is adorable. But you know, the other thing that I'd like to add too to this topic, and you actually brought this up before we started recording, Linda, is the drama.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a balance between tell me what's going on. Right. I mean, please be transparent and help me help you, which is what we say all the time. And drama. Talk to me about that. And as a pet peeve of yours.
Well, recently I had a situation occur where a project manager, somebody higher up than the project manager, contacted me. Hi, how you doing? I'm great. She's talking to me on the phone. And she says, oh, I need to tell you, we had a project call today. And somebody with a, you know, 406 phone number in the middle of the call, we heard them say, oh, I'm on a boring call. We trace that back and we think it's one of your people and yada, yada, yada. And what are you going to do about this?
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, we're adults here. Like, I'm pretty sure you could have handled this. But I said, well, okay. I said, based on that phone number, I think I know who that is. I said, let me tell you, in the last month, she had her nephew die. I called her the other day and she said, can I call you back? I'm feeding my mom. She had a stroke last week. I said, I can envision this girl being on this call and somebody pulling her to do something and her just saying, I'm on a boring call. I just lashing out.
Right.
I said, so I don't feel that I want to call her and chastise her for this. But what I will do is I will send out an email, and I sent it to my entire group and just said, guys, look, you know, you're not required to be on all these calls. Choose wisely. You know, we're paying you to be on the call. So if you're going to be on the call, be on the call if you want to learn. and just be sure you mute yourself.
Yeah.
So I felt like this other person was trying to make drama for me to do with this when it could have just been, she could have sent out a simple email.
Herself. Well, or called it out, you know, I mean, not that you want to embarrass them on the call, but just to say something to everybody saying, hey, everybody go on mute, please. You know, and that would have probably shamed the other girl enough to think, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Right. Because, you know, because it's hard, isn't it? You know, I mean, you want to, you don't know what each other's person's path is. You have no idea what's going on in their lives. And so passing a judgment is just, I mean, it's never going to end well for the person who's passing the judgment or the person that's being judged. You know, learning how to sympathize, empathize, and be compassionate. Now, that doesn't mean that you as a manager don't do your job. I mean, you still have to make sure you're holding people accountable. But I mean, giving people a break, for God's sakes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, recently I had to, because I don't think some of my team was comfortable in their own communication styles. They did. I always tell people no is a complete sentence. No. And I accept that when I ask you something, when somebody else asks you something, no. And, you know, one of my leads got pulled into a lot of work areas that she initially thought she could handle. And then she was, it was too chaotic and she wanted out. And then when the new project manager was trying to, you know, tease out of her what she wanted to do and what she didn't want to do, she couldn't say. She hedged and hedged and hedged till finally I said, look, I want you just to step away from this position. Let's start fresh. I'm going to move you over here. And then she was so happy. She was so glad, but she couldn't advocate for herself that way. But that drama went on for 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow. Which, what, you know, a testament to your management skills, Linda. That's fantastic. You could find somewhere else where she could thrive.
She was a great worker. Yeah.
But you saw that. And rather than saying, hey, you're not performing at this level, then you're gone. Just saying, no, but this would be better for you. Let's talk about it. Because I think what happens with us as leaders, and whenever we end up in a scattered brain scenario, it's tough. But as leaders, if you have that capability to see your team members with a scattered brain, you know, and I'm talking about to where they're overwhelmed, they're grief-stricken, they're stressed because of family matters, they're whatever. I call that a scattered brain.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult if you've got chaos in one part of your life to be able to keep everything else under control. It's we can have a discussion about with neurological scientists right now, and they would absolutely agree with you. You cannot solve a problem when you have a scattered brain. And it does not mean that you're unintelligent or that you can't handle stress or that you can't handle difficult situations. It means that it's so personal to you and that you're so stressed and overwhelmed right now that you are not going to be able to solve the problem because you're in the problem. You got to step out of it. And that's where someone like yourself is a wonderful advocate.
Well, I try to be, because I guess I recognize all the things that I have going on in my house and how I try to, you know, have to stay on top of my work world. And sometimes it's a struggle. So I recognize that. Yeah. Everybody's got something, right?
Sure.
You know, something on the side. But then we do have people who choose not to, you know, let you know what's going on in their world, choose to not do their work. And that's what led to fire a friend.
Exactly. You took my next question out of my mouth, Linda. That's exactly what I was going to ask, is what happens when it gets to the point where they don't take ownership and over, and then you have to get to that release situation. Tell us about that.
Well, because real quick before she jumps in, because that's the difference between a scattered brain and an intentional, I'm just not going to do my work brain, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I had hired a friend who I had known for, you know, at least 10 years in the, from CRA world. And he was working for us for at least 2-3 years. Communication had never been his strong point, and I knew that. And so he would go well with communication for a while, and then I'd have to nudge him, get back in the you know, scheme of things here with your team. And he would, he always would do that. But it came to our light with one of our new tracking systems that he had not sent out follow-up letters for like 10 months.
Oh, Lordy.
He had done the visits, but not sent out the letters. And he said, oh, I didn't use the new system. I said, okay, well then send me the emails to show me you sent out Word document letters. Show me that you actually did it. He couldn't send one email.
Because he hadn't done it.
Yeah. And I, you know, I said, what was going on in your world? He said, well, I think my other contract got kind of busy. And I said, well, you know, the only contract I care about is mine. But if you would have told me you were having issue, I would have helped you. I wouldn't have allowed you to take these extra visits. I wouldn't have had you, you know, jumping in here and there to do other work. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at my other team, how they work so hard to do their deliverables on time, to be there for their teams. I realized that the only choice I could make was to let go, because otherwise, as a manager, I was saying this is acceptable, this is okay, and mm-hmm. I couldn't let that be what I represented.
It's so hard, isn't it? Yeah, because in this case, you know, and again, we just talked about not judging, but, you know, judging people versus judging behaviors, because I would have been with you in this, because from a situation perspective, he wasn't truthful to you. He said he had done it when he hadn't, mm-hmm. and that he had followed a different process when he hadn't. And while there might have been a situation, we're talking about 10 letters here. We're talking about 10 visits. I mean, over a period of how long, Tom? I mean, even if he's super busy and he's got 3 visits a week, I mean, that we're still looking at a longer period of time here, you know, and raising his hand, letting you know before it becomes a problem. That is the sign of someone who is accountable, to Becky's point, that's holding themselves accountable. You know, and we just had this another situation with the gal that she was delinquent and she was late. And, you know, finally she responded back to, hey, what's going on? And then she gives us this whole drama filled. My nephew is this and my niece is this and I got this and my blah, 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 my mother and whatever. And I'm like, that would have all worked if you had come to us before you had 6 weeks, 7 weeks of delinquency underneath your belt. Right.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I was a CRA, I always told my sites, if you look bad, I look bad. Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to look bad. And the CRA team knows the same thing. I own that. And if they're looking bad, if they're not doing their work, that's a reflection on me. And so his inability to follow through on his deliverables was a reflection on me. And so I had to go to my VP, tell her what happened and tell her he was going to go. And like, she rode me, he needs to be gone. He needs to be gone. And you know, I couldn't make it happen fast enough. And project manager and I had to basically, you know, we got him to do the work, but then we had to do the cleanup. And you know, it came at a time when it was not needed. It's never needed, but it came at a worse time in our, where we were in our situation. So,
but you had to fall on your sword, didn't you? I mean, to go to your VP and say, especially since you were the advocate, and and that's always the balance that we walk. You know, I know there's a lot of candidates that you're really ticked off that we won't represent them because they're just, I'm just going to say it. Y'all can be mad at me that are listening if you want to, but they're just not good enough, you know? And the reason why I say that is because they're not professional in their responses to us. They miss scheduled appointments. They won't turn in the things that we ask them to turn in to get them through. Their references don't speak highly enough of them. There's something that just, we scare easily because of just what you described. We go to battle for these guys that we do represent. I mean, we just say, hey, they're gonna make your life so much easier. I mean, we sing accolades out the yin yang for the people that we decide to represent, and then whenever they make us look bad, we have to have to go to you, Linda, and say, I'm gonna follow my sword here because this person has got 3 heads on their shoulders, or they got a little crazy on their face, or whatever it is that's the problem. Because whenever you are an advocate for somebody and then they let you down, it's really horrible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, of my team, I have right now 3 people who have not come through CRA resources. All my other people have come through CRA resources. They have been like vetted. And when they come to me for an interview, they have looked at the company. They understand the business world. You guys really do. I mean, you didn't even ask me to say this, and I'm saying
it. The check is in the mail, Linda.
A fantastic job. And just when I was about to hire someone, the last candidate I hired, and I had said, did they want me to use this other resource that had come forward? And my VP said no, that she wanted the resource to come from CRA resources. That is our trusted trusted person, our trusted vendor.
I really appreciate that. I do. And thank you for saying that, because it does show that it works. I mean, obviously we're not perfect, but it does mean a lot to us mm-hmm. that we find the best quality, because we're putting them with people like you that are in the trenches curing mm-hmm. cancer. I mean, you know, you guys are like making heart transplants real, and you're fixing issues with livers and all these support teams that mm-hmm. we're trying to support. You've got to be able to do that. And that's why we want to pick CRAs that have that same passion and servant's heart, because this is an important industry.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's a small industry too. Oh, yeah. As a contractor, mm-hmm. especially, Linda, you mentioned this earlier when we were talking, you're a product, essentially. Your name is your brand. Mm-hmm. That follows you from client to client and agency to agency. And, you know, you want to make sure that you keep that brand clean and positive, and you want people to be begging to have you back project after mm-hmm. project. So definitely look long term at your actions. Make sure you're proactive so you can get that brand coming through shiny.
Yeah, well, there is that, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the communication that we have together, us, mm-hmm. CRA Resources and me, shows that you all listen over the years to what I have said I wanted, to what our company needs, how our studies roll out. And those are the types of people you provide. You know, people who've been around the block, who know the business, who walk the walk, talk the talk, everything.
Well, and the key point to that even is, and you're right, because this is all about communications and relationships. Mm-hmm. And whenever we first got on the call before we started recording, we talked about the fact that we've communicated for years, but this is the first time we've actually had this type of a, you know, face-to-face type of thing. But it's important to us with the communications, because we've got to understand your personality and the company's personality that we're representing. Because people that we would represent to you might not be people we would represent to a different client, because the culture's different. And it really goes back to those communications. And whenever you've got CRAs that are working for you and it's not the right fit, and I think sometimes CRAs take offense at that. It's like, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that I could put you at a PPD and they will eat you for breakfast, but I could put you with a small client that's a startup and you're going to excel. We got to think about fit. Yep. And it has to do with so much more than just having 5 years of this and 3 years of that mm-hmm. and 2 years of the other.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And the team we have built from you all is just, you know, solid. I know.
Thank you.
I know someday I will retire and I will feel very, you know, proud to pass off the team that we've grown together.
Yeah.
Oh, Linda, that is so thoughtful. Thank you for that. I want to end on that note.
Well, it's truth. You know, it really is.
Thank you, Linda. That is so kind. Oh my goodness. I want to talk to you forever, selfishly, but unfortunately that's all the time we have in this one. Please come back. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, Linda. Thank you, Angela, as well. And thanks to everyone out there listening. And at CRA Resources, we understand you have so many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.